Morning. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your love and faithfulness. And I pray as we look at Jeremiah that you would come and speak to us today and help us to live for you today, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I wanted to speak to you guys briefly about Jeremiah. And I picked probably the most famous passage in Jeremiah. And if I could just make a personal confession to you guys, I have a hard time reading through the prophets in the Bible, because it is a very confusing section of the Bible for me, you know? And so if I could, I would just focus on the stories of the Old Testament, because those all make sense, and you gain a lot of things out of that. And then the New Testament is great, you know, and then there's the Psalms and the Proverbs. Those are all great, but prophets for me is something I generally don't tend to turn to if I don't have to. And I really don't have to, right? No one's making me do it. So I generally just don't read the prophets. But I was very convicted. Preparing for Cambodia, I was very convicted. We were reading a book together on worship. And just convicted that I need to read, I need to love the Word of God. And so I began my one-year Bible reading plan. And praise God, I've been good. I've been, for a month probably now, I've been faithfully reading through my Bible plan, and the Bible plan has led me to the prophets. So I'm reading through the prophets, and I'm actually beginning to find, as I stick with it, that I'm learning a lot out of it, and I'm gaining a lot out of reading the prophets. And so I just wanted to share with you some of my, just my meditations on Jeremiah and what I've been learning as I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah. And so I picked this most famous passage because I'm sure we're all familiar with this passage. Verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future," which is a great passage. And, you know, I mean, that passage alone gives us hope and this idea that that God is with us and he will lead us. But I just wanted to give you a bit of context to that passage. In verse 10, it'll say, when the 70 years are completed for Babylon. So what God is saying in this passage is, he's actually rebuking the people of Israel. The whole book of Jeremiah is really a rebuke from the Lord to the people of Israel, saying, you have turned away from me, and you're not living righteously, and therefore calamity is going to come. Judgment is going to come, and you are going to be exiled into this nation called Babylon. They're going to come, they're going to lay siege on you, and you will be defeated, and you will have to go to Babylon. And God is saying, it's going to take 70 years for you until restoration comes. So it's a book about rebuking and correcting the people of Israel. And then he's saying, after 70 years, I'm going to come back, and you're going to be restored. And so after 70 years, when the 7 years is complete, then you're going to come back because I have plans for you to prosper you and to give you hope. And What I have been learning, number one, I have 3 points. Number one is that as I read through the book of Jeremiah and the book of Isaiah that comes before Jeremiah, which is quite similar, it's a rebuke from the Lord, a call of judgment, but also a call to repentance. Right? As I read through those, the first thing that stands out to me is that our obedience matters to God. I know that's quite simple, but there seems to be such a correlation between how we live our lives and what God does in response to that. And often, I think we can get so accustomed to God's grace that we don't always walk in the fear of the Lord. And it's happened for me where I know that God's going to forgive me, and I know that God is a gracious God. And so I don't always put so much emphasis on walking in obedience and watching what I do. But reading through the prophets, reading through Isaiah, Jeremiah, God is serious about our obedience. He's serious about his people walking in obedience and walking with him. And he's not someone that you can mess with. I mean, I remember a few weeks ago, Pastor Eugene said he used to rebuke his youth group students, and he said, "You don't mess with God because God will kill you. Because if you read the Bible, God kills people that sin." But it's true. I mean, if you read through Isaiah, Jeremiah, God is serious, and you can't mess with him. Even though he is so gracious and he's a good God and we know him as our friend, you know, he's a loving God, it just gives us a perspective, I think, of who God is and how big he is and how he is not someone that we just take for granted. And, you know, we just came back from Cambodia maybe two weeks ago. And it was really an amazing trip. And we'll probably get to do a report for you guys on Sunday. But, you know, before we left Cambodia, came back to Hong Kong, we were only there for 6 days. We talked about mission trip backlash, how you come back from a mission trip and it kind of throws us into a bit of depression because when you're on missions, you're giving your whole heart, going all out, living for God, and then you come back to like the reality, and you know you're bombarded with different responsibilities and different things you have to do and busyness. And I found that even I'm working at the church, coming back to Hong Kong, I found that I was so busy, I was bombarded with all these things I had to do, and it's so easy to forget God. It's so easy. When you're on mission trip, you're always praying, and you're always saying, "God, what do you want to do? What are you trying to say? How can we obey you? How can we join you in what you're doing?" And then when you come back to your normal life, you're just busy, busy, busy doing things that I've forgotten to seek the Lord, you know, and to go to God and involve him in my life and to remember that it is important, that my obedience and how I live my life here matters to God, and there's a correlation between what I do here and what God is doing in my life and through my life. So I think it's important, and I encourage you to read through the prophets and really meditate upon this idea that that God cares about how we act and how we live our lives and how our obedience truly matters to God. Number two is what I have been learning as I read through Jeremiah and Isaiah and the prophets is that God is merciful. God is a merciful God. Even in this passage, we see the evidence of God's mercy. He says, "I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to do all this. I'm going to..." And it's pretty harsh what God says. "You have sinned against me. I'm going to, you know, destroy you guys, basically. I've rejected you. I'm going to bring this judgment, this exile, this calamity on you. But I'm also going to restore you, and I'm going to bring you back." And another aspect of God's mercy that we see is it reveals to us that God is saying these things. He's pronouncing judgment upon the people of Israel, not because God is up there and he's upset and he's just excited about bringing judgment and destruction upon his people. He reveals that he's doing this in order for Israel to come to repentance. In Jeremiah 36, verse 3, it says, "Perhaps When the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, they will each turn from their wicked ways. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. What is God's desire? God's desire is to forgive them and to bring them life and to bless them. But they're walking in sin. They're walking in total rebellion against God. And so God must bring judgment upon them. But as he's pronouncing judgment through Jeremiah, God's desire is that they would hear that and that they would turn and repent so that his judgment doesn't have to come. Now, we know that they don't turn and they don't repent and judgment does come. What Jeremiah pronounces does happen. But God's heart is for them to turn and return to the Lord and repent so that they don't have to endure this this punishment, and that's God's mercy. You know, I was one day God revealed to me, I feel like God spoke to me, you know, the verse in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, it says, therefore my brothers, I urge you, my brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice to the Lord, holy and acceptable, for that is, you know, that is worship, something like that, right? I should know these passages. But Romans 12:1, it says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, I urge you, my brothers, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice. And we say that verse all the time. And every time I've read that passage, the focus was offering my body as living sacrifice, which is great, which is the spiritual act of worship, right? We learned that, but in the beginning of that verse is, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, right? We're not just doing it out of a vacuum. We're not giving God our lives just because he is God and, you know, we need to live for him. And those things are good. But this verse specifically says, in view of God's mercy. And it is because God is such a merciful God, because God is such a gracious God, that we respond to that. We respond to his mercy and his goodness and his grace in our lives by giving our lives to the Lord and offering our bodies as living sacrifice. And we have to remember God's mercy, you know, that he is a God of love and that he is for us and not against us. And the third thing that speaks to me the most, I think, is that God is a powerful God. God is a powerful God. You read through the prophets, you see that, man, God is, God truly holds, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands. We know that song. He's got the whole world in his hands. It's so true. You read through the prophets and you see that God is in control. He is in absolute control of everything that goes on. And when God speaks, he speaks with absolute authority. You know, he says, I'm going to raise up this nation, but I'm going to bring this nation down, and then I'm going to raise this nation up, and then I'm going to bring this nation down, and then I'm going to bring you back, and you're going to be restored, and you're going to be raised up. And there's no, God, there is no uncertainty with God. God just says, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what's going to happen. And I, you know, God basically says, I've got the whole world in my hands, and I have absolute authority over all the nations and over all situation. And so what that speaks, you know, how that speaks to me is I can trust God. I don't have to worry. Same thing for you guys. You don't have to worry because God is absolutely in control. And when you read through the prophets and you meditate upon how God, you know, has authority over the nations to raise them up and to bring them down, and then you translate that into your own life and how God has authority over, you know, over my own life. And he's the one in control. So I don't have to worry. I don't, you know, because it's not up to me. It's not up to my power to do stuff. And it's not up to me to make things happen. God is in control and he is with me and he is moving through me. And it just gives me a lot of comfort to know that I can trust God, and he's not a, you know, he's all-powerful. You know, he's not, there's no doubt about what he can do and how much he can do. So there's many more things, I'm sure, that will speak to you as you read through the prophets, but these three things have spoken to me and stuck out to me as I read through the prophets, and I want to encourage you with these. That number one, God, it matters. Our obedience to God, how we live our lives matters to God. There's a correlation between how we live our lives, how we obey God, and what happens. And number two, that God is a merciful God, that you don't have to live in fear, but we can trust in His mercy. And then in view of God's mercy, we respond to Him. And number three, God is powerful, all-powerful. He's got the whole world in His hands, and that God is for us and not against us. And so we can trust and rest in Him and His power. So let's go to God with this song of worship. Janella is going to come and lead us in a time of worship. And let's just close our eyes and meditate upon the Lord.
Without you.
thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. And I thank you that you are a powerful God, that you hold the whole world in your hands, God, and you have absolute authority over everything. So, Father, help us to trust you, to trust you with our lives, God, to trust you with our decisions, and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to our group prayer focus. Let's lift up our community that really need the power of God. They really need the mercy of God to come and move in their lives. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for comfort and strength in this time. So let's pray for the people on our list today. Let's pray together. Go to the second slide. Let's pray for our church family members that need healing, but also they need salvation. So let's pray that they will come to know the Lord. And let's also pray for other sickness and illnesses that's mentioned on the list. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for our community that's in search of a job. Let's pray that God will bring breakthrough and favor. And let's pray for confidence in this time and just the ability to trust God and to really go deep with God in this time of waiting. So let's pray for our community. pray for our Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for Japan. Our Japan mission team just came back. Let's pray that God will continue the work that He has done through this team and continue to bless the people that they were ministering with and involved with. Kenny Yeh is no longer in Japan, so we can take his name off. But he was a missionary there that we sent for 2 years, and he's back now. But let's pray that his work also will continue, and that God will continue to move in this nation to bring His light into this nation. Let's pray for Thailand and Rachel Wurlick, who's a YWAMer there, and Ralph and Juanita Oberg, Thai Care. Let's also pray for North Korea. Let's just pray for the nation. Let's pray for the church there, and Chris, who's our contact there. So let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, the children's ministry. Let's pray for nursery. Pray for the youth ministry, SP youth, and men and women's ministry. Let's pray that God would lead these ministries and lead the leaders of these ministries, and that they will see a lot of fruit. And let's just pray for God's anointing. So let's pray for these ministries. Let's pray for the retreat that's coming up. Let's really pray that God's anointing will be upon our speakers, Pastor Dom and Pastor Ong Saek Liang. And let's also pray that our church would all sign up, and let's pray for an excitement about the retreat. And let's pray just prepare our hearts and prepare the hearts of the church for this time at the retreat. So let's pray for the retreat. Father, thank you for your love, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we just come before you with all these prayer requests. And I thank you that you hear our prayers and that you move in answer to our prayers. I just want to pray again for our community, God, going through so much sickness and illness. God, we need your salvation to come and your favor for jobs. We pray, Lord, that you would really move and have favor and pour out your mercy upon our brothers and sisters. And we want to pray for the retreat, God, that our church would be ready for this retreat, Lord, and that our hearts would be ready and thirsty and hungry and excited for what you're going to do in this time, God. And I pray, Lord, that it'll be a great time of learning and growing, also a time of deep connections and deep relationships being built. So, Lord, be with us. Thank you, Father. I just pray your blessing over each of the person here, that your presence will go with them, your peace and your comfort, your strength, your anointing will go with them. Help us to bring you joy today in some way. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.